All right, y'all, welcome back. This is our mental health checkup for the week, and I am Dr. K. I'm going to be talking about the use of a slang term and whether it really could trace back to slavery, despite what some websites explicitly say. This whole journey started when I was in a small class seminar that I teach, and I found a truth bomb that really got me in a real bad way, leading to some serious physiological panic, goosebumps, nausea, the whole nine. It was really shocking and disturbing, so I decided to do a segment on it when the term came up in one of the episodes last week. Then, while I was doing the research for this very segment, I got absolutely blown away again, except this time the twists and the turns kept giving over and over. I ended up going back and forth about whether I felt that the term did have racist underpinnings, and then I ended up landing on the fact that it could be traced back to slavery, even if we can't prove that it does trace back. And certainly, regardless, it does have a history of being used as a racist term with racist effect. So regardless of whether it was first used that way, it is certainly a word and a term that we should be challenging ourselves not to use anymore. So I think I actually have a bit of a thesis that's not found in the literature to share with you all today. First, before we get started, quick note and heads up that I will be referring to our country's history of slavery, as well as referring to the rape and impregnation of enslaved women. So what term am I referring to? Knocked up. Harmless enough, right? There's a comedy of that name with Seth Rogen by Judd Apatow. It must be harmless, even funny, right? Nope. Not so much, not so fast. Before I get into my origin story, the origin story of finding the origin of the term, let's take a dive into the contemporary colloquial slang uses of the term. It can mean, as we know it to mean, being or getting pregnant. It's also been used to mean having sex. In Aussieland, Australia, it can mean building a wall. They distinguish between knocking up a woman, as in getting her pregnant, and knocking up a wall, as in building it. In England, it might be used interchangeably with bang up. So you did a knock up job on that, kind of like you did a bang up job on it. Then there's my favorite use of it from England, which is associated with what are called knocker uppers. A knocker upper is a British term for people who would go house to house, knock on the doors and windows until you woke up, sort of a form of an early alarm clock. You were literally being knocked up out of bed by the knocking, or knocked awake, right? If you get woken up, you get knocked up. You get woken up. This was happening even into the 1970s in England, which is just wild. Sometimes it would be police constables looking for a second source of money, and sometimes it'd be older adults for the same reason. And since we know that older adults tend to not need as much sleep, it kind of makes sense they'd be up naturally earlier and able to help wake others. But either way, knocker-upper was a term for somebody who was waking other people up. So in England, in general, at large, it could mean someone who's waking you up. It could mean you've done a bang-up job. Or it could mean you're pregnant. What a charcuterie board of meaning options. Now, the origin story. I'm teaching a small seminar class with very few students, and I'm reading out to them all of these fun facts about alarm clocks that I've learned after buying a joke gift for my husband for Christmas, based on the fact that we both were having a hard time waking up to our alarms. The joke gift came with a small booklet that had all of these fun facts about alarm clocks and the history of them. So I get to the one about the knocker-upper role previously described from England, and we think as a group it must be related to the term knocked up. So I look it up on Google. Here comes my goose-pimply, nauseous, shaky, guttural, earth-shattering, disgusted reaction, truly life-altering information, as I said to my small class, whom I almost didn't want to tell because it was so disturbing. I really felt like I needed to get consent before explaining what I'd found. The first definition that seemed to pop up in my cursory look suggested that the meaning traced back to slavery, when in 1813, a man referred to enslaved women at auction being knocked up in terms of price because they're more valuable when their babies could be indentured when they're born. How fucking fucked and fucked and fucked is that? Totally disturbing and disgusting. So fast forward to last week when Jax Taylor asks Kristen Doughty if she's been knocked up yet. I thought to myself, oh, we've got to do a mental health checkup on this topic. I need to share my new information with folks. So that means last week I'm sitting down getting ready to create this mental health checkup. I'm researching the topic, looking desperately for real evidence of the origins. This is where I first discover that the whole claim actually came from a Twitter post. I read the Twitter post, and I believed him. Jonathan Perk, the author of the tweet, suggested that the first usage of Knocked Up by, for example, the Oxford English Dictionary, traced back to 1813 and was intended to refer to enslaved women who were pregnant being sold for auction at a reduced price. Knocked up meaning the price was knocked up into a reduction so that it was on a sale because enslaved women who are pregnant can't work as hard at first. So this was the awful graphic description I was talking about that was so disturbing. I find out that it was actually just a tweet suggesting this claim. So I go and find the tweet, and actually even Twitter wrote a little note on it saying, "Oh, we don't know that this is true." But at this point, I am actually still believing the tweet. I'm like, well, okay, they just didn't prove that it's true. Whatever, still could be it. So now I'm thinking I'm on the lookout for another source that's going to back up the tweet. Where did this tweet get it from? There must have been something that sparked it. I'm looking around Google, and I happen upon the next twist and turn. The Spectator article. It was ridiculous, this article. I start reading it. I understand immediately they're trying to debunk the tweet. And before you know it, they're saying all sorts of inflammatory shit and using a racial slur and clearly at a point that did not need to be used in order to give the quote that they gave. And in fact, in other articles, I see the quote without that used. So I felt as if they were purposely trying to inflame the reader and distract them from what their point was that they were trying to prove. Because honestly, I couldn't tell what their point was. I start noticing while looking at their language that there seems to be a lack of clarity in the article and this inflammatory quote in the middle that felt unnecessary. So I decide to look up whether it's politically oriented. I don't know The Spectator. It's a British mag or a newspaper. So I look it up. Sure enough, it is conservatively oriented, politically speaking. So, yep, felt very intentional, really, to have that kind of quote in the middle be the centerpiece and much less have the article be about a clear argument. So the article is doing its job. I'm feeling mighty confused at this point. I understand their argument to mean, yes, this first definition of knocked up comes from 1813 and it is about slavery or the auctioning reference, but that it's meant to mean that the enslaved women are impregnated. It's not meant to mean that their prices are knocked up. So, okay, I guess I understand that. Sure. That doesn't mean that the definition doesn't trace back to slavery. It just means it's a different use of it. So feeling frustrated, especially by the tactic in the middle of the article, as I've now referenced several times, obviously it was a little frustrating. So then I'm like, all right, listen, I'm going to find another source. We're going to be fine. This one's politically biased. Blah, blah, blah. I keep looking down the list on Google. This is where I come across the Snopes article. Okay, listen, another twist and turn ahead. Based solely on the title, I'm pissed. The title of the article is, "No, the phrase knocked up didn't originate with slavery." Ugh. I was like, no, I was just reading about that. And it did. It just wasn't about the prices being knocked up, I thought to myself. And I'd never seen Snopes before. So given what I'd just gone through, I figured let's start by looking up what Snopes is. This time, however, to my dismay, it turned out Snopes actually has a reputable reputation. So they're like considered a fact-checking site, which frankly I didn't even really know existed. So at this point, I'm noticing agreement, but I'm thinking that the agreement is on sort of the meaning of knocked up. That knocked up doesn't mean knocking the price up, but rather means impregnating the enslaved women. Okay, Snopes agrees with that. I get it. But it doesn't change the fact that it is connected to slavery. So what is the title of Snopes' article about? Suddenly I'm like, this is false advertising. And then it all starts to make a little bit more sense. I slow down a little bit and come to understand there are actually two definitions and two different references to knocked up. One in 1813 and one in 1836. It turns out the one that I had been looking at in several places and that the tweet purported was from 1813 about enslaved women being knocked up, meaning impregnated after being sold, that was actually from 1836. And the 1813 reference or definition of knocked up was indeed about impregnating solely. So it was about a woman who was looking for a man who had apparently knocked her up. Not an enslaved woman, but a woman. So this is an important distinction. And now I'm starting to understand what Snopes and The Spectator were saying, which is that the tweet was referring to a definition that in fact was from 1836, where the first reference to knocked up was from 1813 about a woman looking for somebody who had knocked her up. Therefore, it might not be tied back to slavery, supposedly. However, it is important to note at this stage that Snopes, just as one example, as a fact-checking site, is only about checking whether there is proof for a given theory. It's not actually about devising a new theory, because really all they can tell us by explaining these two locations of references is that there is not proof that the first reference was about slavery. But it doesn't mean there wasn't actually a reference to slavery in the first use of Knocked Up. It just means the first written reference to being knocked up was not about slavery. Let me explain this a little bit more. First, when we really dig into the quote from 1813, the woman in question is actually a widow, and she is looking for a man with the same last name as her late husband, who had apparently knocked her up. So we can see here that this is not a woman of reputable source at the time. She was not a reputable woman at the time at this period. A widow alone is not seen the same way as a married woman. And then on top of that, a widow who is impregnated by someone who is related to her late husband would also not be considered particularly reputable. That's fact number one. Fact number two that I found is that people were using knocked up to mean having sex by the 1500s. Okay, so that was when we first start noticing references to being knocked up just having to do with sex. So this isn't necessarily impregnating or about Price being knocked up. What else happened in the 1500s? The Atlantic slave trade. From approximately 1526 to 1867, some 12.5 million captured men, women, and children were put on ships in Africa, and 10.7 million arrived in the Americas. So we know that in the same century that the word knocked up was referencing having sex, so not necessarily impregnating, having sex, that was also the same time period that the Atlantic slave trade was taking place. So couldn't one conceivably suggest that the reference of getting knocked up to having sex originated at the same time as the slave trade, such that perhaps the first time knocked up was even used was in the context of knocked down, which was already an existing phrase in trade. So in auctioning at all of any kind, and therefore then in slave auctioning, knocked down meant sold. So if something got knocked down, it got sold when the hammer came down. So then wouldn't it also make sense that a phrase like knocked up would have first been thought of in the context of language that was already being used in a different way? So knocked down, and then someone might say, oh, knocked up, meaning you're impregnating them, or meaning you're going to have sex with the slave that you knocked down. So the slave is sold, they're knocked down, and then the buyer is going to knock them up, meaning have sex with them. Eventually, I imagine, as men started admitting that they were having children by their slaves, they might have also admitted that knocking up their slaves also meant impregnating them. Or one might also think about the idea that a slave who was knocked up, meaning pregnant, would also be more easily raped following purchase because they wouldn't get pregnant while they were already pregnant. And so then the slave owner would not be outed to their wife for raping their enslaved woman because she was already pregnant. So there's a number of ways in which this phrase coming out in the context of slavery makes the most sense. The language matches language already existing within the use of auction language. And then also because the time period at which it started getting used just for having sex matches the time period of it being the slave trade. So that right there is something I would suggest gives credence to the fact that perhaps it did actually originate in reference to enslaved folks in the 1500s. Indeed, if you think about it that way, and that it was first used in the context of enslaved women, over time it would become less and less stigmatized, meaning that by 1813, it would be okay to use that in reference to a widow, not just an enslaved person. And a widow is a little bit more reputable than an enslaved person, but a little less reputable than a married woman. Skip forward to today, we use knocked up willy-nilly. It's not meant to only be used for folks who are not reputable. So wouldn't it make sense that since the beginning of its use, it would become less and less stigmatized? Not less stigmatized than more stigmatized than less stigmatized. All of these things point to me that they might not have written about the use of knocked up for enslaved people back in the 1500s, say, but that it was indeed used that way first and then used in 1813 to reference this widow, clearly of not reputable source. And then again in 1836, when it's used for an enslaved person, it was really just going back to the roots of the use of the word. That's all possible. So it's not really fair to say, no, it definitely does not go back to slavery. It could definitely go back to slavery, and just the written source doesn't necessarily help us trace it back to slavery, but the rest of the historical context does. maybe knocked up does just mean impregnating or having sex with, but why did it mean that to begin with? Why was the phrase knocked up associated with sex and pregnancy to begin with, if not in the context of auction language? In fact, maybe it was first meant to suggest that the price was knocked up and a discount was given for an enslaved woman, and then over time, because they were also knocking up enslaved women in terms of impregnating them, it started to mean that. There's plenty of time between the 1500s and 1813. It's not a stretch to believe that it might have meant both. Either way, it doesn't make sense that knocked up as language came up out of nowhere socially, whereas it logically makes sense in the context of auction language. Last but not least, regardless of its connection to slavery, there are certainly sociopolitical influences on it, such as patriarchy and white supremacy. For one, we have quite aggressive and demeaning terms for pregnancy, galore. There are some exceptions, such as being prego or preggers, but largely the patriarchal views on pregnancy are that it's demeaning and a dismissible event, when in fact it's a life-changing journey. Examples from a Time article with the reference in the description of the episode include terms such as those that refer to a woman's body being big, such as pooching out, gonna pop, as big as a barrel, getting broad in the hips, or terms that suggest that being pregnant is a disability, such as in a delicate condition or going to be confined. Or how about all the terms that have to do with women being seen as damaged when they're pregnant or lacking freedom, such as banged up, jacked up, in a fix, up a tree, shot in the tail, out of circulation? Ugh. So there's certainly room to reimagine how we talk about pregnancy and the state of being pregnant for a woman in our culture. Terms that are less patriarchal, demeaning, and aggressive. Similarly, ideally, terms that don't probably have ties back to slavery, at the very least, have ties back to the period when slavery was at its peak here in the Americas. Thus, a better title for that article might be, "No, the phrase knocked up doesn't tie back directly to slavery that we can tell yet." And absolutely, we should question our use of this term and drop it. Or when hearing others use this term, take it as an opportunity to educate them on the history of it. Because at the very least, we know that the term knocked up was used publicly and regularly to refer to enslaved women who were raped and impregnated by their slave owners. And beyond that, it was most likely first used in the context of auctions, given the existing use of the term knocked down, and that knocked up linguistically would make sense as a term that would originate in that same sphere. And also because we know that the slave trade in the 1500s started at the same time that we know that the term knocked up was first being used to refer to sex. So just a reminder to us all to be critical of our language. Certainly all of our language was born out of a white supremacist patriarchal setting. And a really great resource for this kind of content would be to look at Dale Spender's Man-Made Language from 1980. So thank you all so much for taking the time to engage with me and learn about this content. Thank you for taking care of yourselves and each other and for reaching out for help if you feel like you would benefit from it. Thanks, y'all.